Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's Gospel tells of one of the best known miracles of Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000. In fact, it's the only miracle that's recorded other than the resurrection that's recorded in all four Gospels. That alone tells us something important. The Holy Spirit wants us to pay close attention to what this miracle reveals about Jesus. This is not simply a story about feeding hungry people. It's a revelation of who Jesus is, what kind of Savior he is, and how he continues to care for his people even today. However, the story begins with sadness. Jesus has just learned that John the Baptist has been executed by King Herod. John was his faithful forerunner, the one who prepared the way for the Messiah. So, Jesus withdraws to a boat to a lonely place, hoping to find some solitude. Yet the crowds discover where he has gone, and they follow him on foot. Now think about that for a moment. Jesus is grieving. Jesus is tired. He is seeking quiet and solitude. But Jesus is Jesus. So when he sees the crowd, Matthew tells us, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. Compassion is more than feeling sorry for someone. The Greek word describes a deep moment of the heart, or a deep movement, rather, of the heart. Jesus is moved by their suffering. Their pain becomes his concern. This is the heart of the Savior. He sees them as sheep without a shepherd. He sees people burdened by illness, fear, guilt, and death. And his response is mercy. That same compassion has not changed. When we bring our grief, our fears, our illnesses, our words, he does not turn us away. Rather, he welcomes us. As Hebrews reminds us, we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. And thank God for that, because we all have weaknesses. One of my weaknesses is that when I'm tired, when I need solitude, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, pride allows me to forget to share those burdens with the Lord. And in not sharing those burdens, and by trying to carry them myself, by trying to carry them alone, I allow those cares of this world to rob me of being able to express compassion in a Christ-like way. But you know, when I turn to the Lord, when I put it in his hands, when I bring my sins to him, he never turns me away. Rather, he welcomes me. And in doing so, he lightens my load. You see, there's a message for us, as there always is in the Gospels, Gospel readings. And that message is simply this: human resources are never enough. Human resources are never enough. So let's see just how that is illustrated in today's Gospel reading. Matthew tells us that as evening approaches, the disciples become practical. This is a deserted place, they say. Send the crowds away so they can buy food. Their suggestion seems reasonable. The problem is simply too large. More than 5,000 men are present, and that's not counting the women and children. Perhaps 10 or 15,000 people in all. So how could 12 disciples feed such a large crowd? Well, Jesus answers with words that must have shocked them. They need not go away. You'll give them something to eat. Disciples immediately counted what they had. 5 loaves, 2 small fishes. Certainly not enough. How often do we think the same way? We look at our resources. We look at our abilities. We look at our church attendance. We look at our finances. We look at our strength. And we conclude it isn't enough. And by ourselves, it isn't. But Jesus never asks his disciples to accomplish his work with only their own resources. Disciples' greatest act of faith was not multiplying the bread because they couldn't. Their greatest act of faith was bringing that tiny lunch to Jesus. 5 loaves and 2 small fish. It looks so insignificant. But in the hands of Jesus, it became abundant. And that is still how God works. Moses only had a staff. David only had a sling. The widow of Zarephath only had a handful of flour. And the little boy had only 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. You see, God delights in accomplishing great things through what seems to be small and weak. The question is not whether we have enough. The question is whether we place it into God's hands. Our time may seem small. Our talents may seem ordinary. Our gifts may seem insignificant. But offered to Christ, he uses them far beyond what we can imagine. Next, Matthew records something beautiful. Jesus takes the loaves. He looks up to heaven. He blesses them. He breaks them. Then he gives them to the disciples who distribute them to the crowd. Those actions should sound so familiar to us. Take, bless, break, and give. These same actions appear again on the night before Jesus dies when he takes bread in the upper room. There he gives something greater than ordinary bread. He gives his own body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. The feeding of the 5,000 points us forward to that greater feast that Christ prepares. This miracle satisfies physical hunger for a day. The Lord's Supper gives the bread of life. It satisfies forever. Jesus said himself in John's Gospel, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger." Every Holy Communion reminds us that Christ still feeds his people. He continues to provide forgiveness. He continues to strengthen faith. And he continues to sustain his church. Perhaps the most surprising detail comes at the end. Everyone eats, remember. 5 loaves and 2 small fish, but everyone eats. Everyone is satisfied. And then 12 baskets remain. I often wondered why 12. Well, perhaps one basket was for each disciple. Each disciple who doubted whether Jesus could provide, now is carrying home a basket full of bread. What a lesson. God's grace is never barely just enough. His forgiveness is never barely just enough. His mercy is never barely just enough. His love is never barely just enough. Paul later writes, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Christ always gives more than we deserve, more than we expect, more than we could ever earn. His cross provides forgiveness for every sin. His resurrection provides victory over every grave. His kingdom provides eternal life for all who put their trust in him. This miracle also teaches us something about Christian living. We're not only merely receivers. The disciples received bread from Jesus so that they could give it to others. The church receives the gospel for the same purpose. Christ fills us with his mercy so that we may show mercy. He forgives us so that we might forgive others. He comforts us so that we comfort those who mourn. He feeds us with his word and sacrament so that we may become his hands of compassion in a hungry world. And the world is hungry, not only for food, but for hope, for forgiveness, for truth, and for eternal life. We have no power in ourselves to satisfy that hunger. But Christ does. And he continues his work through his church. When the disciples looked at those 5 loaves and 2 small fish, what they saw was scarcity. When Jesus looked at those 5 loaves and 2 small fish, he saw an opportunity for the Father's glory. When we look at ourselves, we often see limitations. But when Christ looks at us, he sees redeemed sinners whom he delights to use for his kingdom. Most importantly, when he looks at us through Christ, he does not see our failures. He sees his beloved children, forgiven through the death and resurrection of his Son. I pray that when we look at each other, we don't see our failures, but we see a brother or sister in Christ, redeemed by his love and forgiven by his grace. The same Savior who fed the multitude still feeds his people today. He feeds us with his word, he feeds us with his body and blood, and he feeds us with his grace and forgiveness. And one day he will welcome us to that great heavenly banquet where hunger, sorrow, and death will be no more. Until that day, we must trust in his promises. Our compassionate Lord always provides exactly what his people need. And in his hands, there is always more than enough.